Touchdown, Red Raiders!
I deeply hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. Hopefully you're starting to recognize that this is the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and it's homecoming weekend for the Red Raiders. We're here at the midpoint of the football season, and at 3-3, Texas Tech has its future firmly in its own hands with Iowa State coming into town. But before we get into the thick of it, I'd love to introduce, as always on these previews, Tyler Lucas. Tyler, what is in the trunk of your vehicle right now?
I don't really have a trunk since I have a pickup truck, but if the back seat, the back seat is a umbrella and a really good car seat, because I have a kid.
Okay, so nothing incriminating. Yeah.
Nothing too incriminating. I do need to get it detailed because it hasn't been detailed since like I bought it, because I just I don't care. But yeah, I've really got to get that thing cleaned out. But I'm pretty sure that the only thing back there is an umbrella and a car seat for a kid.
I'm assuming you're going to find a lot of snacks or like crumbs of snacks if you
like
do clean it up.
Goldfish, yeah.
It's just the inevitability. You're just going to find a ton of random snacks. Yeah. Then with back-to-back appearances for the first time in a while, it's Jacob Harris. Jacob, what is your least favorite sport to watch?
Golf.
Okay, that's fair. Any particular reason you want to share?
Oh, I think it's because, like, two of the three times I've legit, like, sat down and been like, let's watch some golf, I've fallen asleep.
I think that might actually be the purpose
that's
of watching
the purpose.
Golf.
Yeah, that people, might be.
Most average Americans just like, hey, turn on the Masters, and I'll wake up in, like, the 12th hole. Well, we have come together to break down this weekend's homecoming matchup between Texas Tech and Iowa State. If you haven't had a chance to listen to my interview with Wide Right Natty Light site manager Levi Stevenson, then go ahead and check it out right now. Do not continue. Do not go forward. Check it out right now and then come back to this pod. Did you do it? Great. Well, Levi was great and we had a lot of fun and insight talking about the Cyclones team. So let's just get right into it. We'll start off with some housekeeping. First of all, Baylor sucks and deserves every bad athletic thing to happen to them from here on out. Next, Iowa State. Biggest headlines to pay attention to for the Cyclones coming into this weekend's matchup. I think the biggest thing on the plate is that linebacker Orion Vance is actually out with an upper body injury and is very unlikely to play this Saturday. With who they have coming up next, which is the Oklahoma gauntlet of Oklahoma State and then Oklahoma, I imagine Iowa State might keep him, you know, on reserve to let him heal up fully for those two games. But you never know with Campbell. And along with that theme, Iowa State has multiple injuries on their defensive side, but that did really not prevent them from holding West Virginia to a total of something like, I don't know, 50 yards in the second half of their game last weekend. So although Iowa State is suffering a number of injuries on the defensive side of the ball, do not think that gives Texas Tech any kind of free pass because they are extremely lethal, and we will certainly get into that. We got anything else, you guys?
No, that's it.
Jacob, anything I'm missing?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Well, I'm an infallible source of information. Good to be affirmed in that. Well, let's take a gander at this Cyclone offense. First up, QB1, the obvious initiator for Iowa State, the resurgence for Iowa State out of the dark ages, as Levi called it, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is currently sitting with 1,800 plus yards through the air with a 70% completion rate, 11 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions, and then he's also running the ball pretty well. 51 rushes for 188 yards, already 6 touchdowns. I mean, what more can you say about Brock Purdy besides that it's Brocktober? This is the time this guy shines the best, and it seems like over the course of the past couple of games, he's just becoming more efficient and more settled in to this new season and the new offensive lineup. And part of that offensive lineup is running back, true freshman running back, I'll give him credit where credit is due, Breece Hall. Already 44 rushes, 216 yards, three touchdowns on the year. But get this, if I'm not mistaken, the three touchdowns came from 15 carries last week against West Virginia. I mean, this is an absolute unit for them, and he played like a monster last weekend. He utilizes what Levi said is the amount of the running room that the offensive line creates. Apparently, earlier in the season, running backs weren't really keying into the gaps that linemen were creating, and it stifled their running game for a number of reasons, but not so anymore. Breece Hall has figured it out. He's figured the rhythm, and he's starting to excel at that running back position. They have another running back, Johnny Lang, who I think was their starter at the beginning of the year. He's out with injury, if I'm not mistaken. I could be, but he's out with injury right now, and it looks like even if he comes back, Breece Hall would get the nod to start. But if he doesn't, then don't quote me, because, you know, we are just peasants. Then we move out to the wideout position, and this might be where Iowa State starts to really excel. They have Deshante Jones, who has been a monster for them, 37 receptions, 444 yards, only one touchdown. Tariq Milton has become an explosive player for them with 19 receptions, 400 plus yards, two touchdowns. And then LaMichael Petaway, 21 receptions, 254 yards, three touchdowns. So these guys, they're not Hakeem Butler big, is everybody's used to seeing or expecting from Iowa State. And they're really not getting a lot of yards after the catch because they lack that size, but they are extremely efficient. The sweet spot for Iowa State this season is under that 15-yard range. And it honestly might be a great area for our defensive backs to cover, but it's going to take a number of mixed coverage packages, as Brock Purdy has made it obvious that if you line up in zone, or if you line up in man solely, he has, you know, just has the efficiency and the talent and the IQ to pick it apart. Levi brought up a very good point that the two teams that have stifled Iowa State the most this season, between that West Virginia game and who else did he bring up? Texas, maybe? No, they haven't played Texas yet. Baylor. Between the Baylor and West Virginia games, these two defenses played a kind of a combo man zone coverage, and it really tripped Purdy up because he would have to second guess himself, and it would lead him to incomplete a number of passes. So Tech's best chance might be doing that. But that's not all they have. We've also got tight end Charlie Kohler. I hope I'm saying that right. 23 receptions, 319 yards, two touchdowns. A lot of the Iowa State guys are really hype on their tight ends right now, and it's easy to see why. They're in reliable, you know, dump pass. They're extremely efficient at the run blocking and pass blocking aspect of the game. That's a great skill position that if you can manage to recruit somebody who's efficient and big and agile, you got it. Texas Tech fans, just think back to when we had Jason Morrow. It was just an easy dump over the defensive linemen. Amaro's big enough to knock out the linebackers. It was an easy pickup for us. So this is kind of what we're looking at when we're seeing the Iowa State tight ends. Okay, that's a lot of people. let's just break it down slowly now. Iowa State is ranked 24th in total offense with one of the nation's best quarterbacks in Brock Purdy. Last year, the makeup of this team was Purdy, Hakeem Butler, David Montgomery, the kind of three-headed hydra that made Iowa State so lethal offensively. But that's not the case anymore, with Butler and Montgomery leaving for the NFL draft. Instead of having two obvious stars, the Cyclones are actually discovering a number of talented players across the board. And the diversity in their lineup is probably their greatest strength this season. Purdy is consistently throwing to 9 or 10 different receivers each game. And Texas Tech fans can agree, when you are able to spread the ball around well and avoid people from picking apart, you know, who's your star, who should we get double coverage on, you tend to have more success in the passing game. So something that Iowa State's doing well. And I'm going to say it, but Purdy right now is better than Charlie Brewer in every category. And Tech was able to stifle Brewer, for what it's worth. But Purdy is just better. Jacob, negating the result last weekend, so like forget all that mess, what did you see from the performance, the defensive performance against Baylor, that gives you confidence this week?
They stay competitive throughout the entire game. That was something that I know they gave up that 99-yard drive, okay? We talked about it. You guys should go out and read the article. I think Macon wrote it. about prevent defense and how it's trash and it is trash. And if we play defense like we regularly do every other drive of every other game, we would have won that game. Anyways, like you said, results out. All right, the defense stayed competitive this the entire game. Okay, there wasn't an Arizona moment where I thought, well, we just gave up. No, there wasn't an Oklahoma moment where I was like, well, we didn't show up prepared. All right, the best thing that I saw last week was the competitiveness that we gave 100% of the game, even in overtime, even after the whole bogus call it cost Kirby Hocut $25,000 and what really cost him that much. Can't get paid a dime of it. But, you know, I think it's just the competitiveness that we saw the entire game, the turnovers we saw the entire game. You know, we were the team seemed really locked in the entire game, especially on defense. So that was something good that I saw.
Okay. And equally, what gives you pause? Where's the weak point on our defense that with Brock Purdy and company coming to town, where do we need to pick it up?
Chunk plays.
Real simple.
Yeah, big chunk plays, all right? And I think the way that Iowa State runs their offense is kind of going to help us with that a little bit too. Big chunk plays have really limited the team. And something that I don't know if, you know, I hope they've seen this in film and stuff, but Purdy loves to throw to his left, okay? Of his, I think, 150-something completions, 140 of them have been to the left side of the field or in the middle. He never throws right, okay? Maybe we could shade our guys a little bit to the left, all right? Not give up so many of those chunk plays. If we can do that, I think the defense will put us in good position to win.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And if dividends pay and Brock Purdy continues to throw to that one side, I'm hoping Patterson keys up on that. I'm not like, you know, I expect them to be at least intelligent enough to be defensive coordinator. So I feel like, you know, you got to feel like they've been watching that and taking notes. So hopefully so. Tyler, is there anything you like and don't like about our defense against Iowa State?
Yeah, I think Charlie Kohler scares me the most, that matchup, because I don't think, I mean, outside of OU, really, if you're overmatched in one area, like Charlie Kohler presents our linebackers and our safeties, just a tall, athletic tight end that can really be harmful in the red zone. That's something that's always been kind of a stigma against a Tech defense. But man, like kind of like Jacob said, what impressed me about the game at Baylor is we were really competitive the entire game. They never let up. The depth kind of actually started to show with Braden Stringer picking up the slack when Rico Jeffers is out. I think there's a lot to like about that performance. There's no moral victories in my book, but there's a lot to be taken away from that book and just build on.
Yeah, and I think the most difficult thing about this Iowa State offense is that they're kind of talented everywhere. I mean, we brought up Kohler as a tight end. We haven't played too many really good tight ends this year. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, I mean, Purdy's fantastic, sure, but they've got good offensive line. They've got a rising star in Breece Hall, and as we kind of talked about, plenty of weapons at wide receiver. So let's just play a scenario, because why not? Because I love, you know, self-harm. Both of our previous games came down to necessity of the Red Raider defense stepping it up late in the fourth quarter, and we got away with it against Oklahoma State, but Baylor was able to pull that march down the field, you know, score bullshit that threw it into overtime that never should have, as kind of Jacob alluded to. I mean, if this game comes down to that fourth quarter, how confident are you guys in Patterson being able to stop Purdy? Jacob?
Very. I mean, we're at home. I feel like one of the things that Coach Wells especially has done this season is make sure that his guys are ready to go at home. And that's why I think, you know, if we're on the road, I'd probably say kind of confident, but at home, I think I'm really confident that they'd be able to stop Purdy if it meant the game.
Yeah, you bring up good points. I'm confident that, yeah, it's at home. Wells has made it very special to his to his overall character that like the Jones needs to be the place where we put up the biggest fight, where we need to bring all the students, where we need to bring all the noise. The players are clearly keying into that, clearly a part of it. I mean, the game against Oklahoma State was nuts, but that's not like a one-off thing. I'm sure that that's a reflection of how the staff and how players are appreciating, you know, defending your own house, defending Lubbock as like as its own turf. So I expect as well kind of the same thing. Tyler, how you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm guaranteeing one of the questions in the interview process with Kirby and Matt Wells had to be, can you win at home? Can you make sure people fear the Jones again? Because it's been kind of lackluster. You know, used to people wrote just going off to Lubbock, even though we weren't that great. Going to Lubbock used to be kind of a scary thing to some opponents, especially our ranked opponents. But now, it's, you know, Mike Gundy kind of made get comfortable there, and we saw what happened to him 2 weeks ago. So and Matt Campbell has gotten really comfortable at Jones Stadium the last 3 years, winning three times in a row. So he's, you know, he's pretty comfortable. So let's see what Matt Wells has in store for them.
Yeah, and you certainly got to take into account the, I mean, I didn't get to watch it live, but the moment where Wells calmly goes over to Patterson late in that fourth quarter and, you know, tells him, what were the words? It was like, hey, could you just get out of prevent or
no, like. It was, I believe it was get a defense.
Something like that. But certainly. No love lost there, guys. If you've ever been in coaching or been around a collegiate level of coaching, that's just how it is. If you really care and are passionate about the program, there's no love lost whenever you get yelled at for doing something stupid. So I accept fully that Patterson probably is aware, and especially after the product that, you know, Wells wasn't, it wasn't anything against him. They were just trying to pull out the win, what they duly thought they deserved. And, you know, this week is a good opportunity for Patterson to grow as a coach, as a friend of Wells, as a part of this Texas Tech staff, and to prove to us that, like, hey, we can give it our all, you know, this whole game, like Jacob alluded to earlier, but we're going to make sure that it's not, if it does come down to that one possession game or that one drive, like they need this drive or they lose, we're going to take that from them. Like, we're not going to give them the opportunity to roll our defense over. And part of that's on the players, obviously. It's not all Patterson's calling. Sometimes you're going to have the perfect play and your players fudge it up. It just happens. Look at Baylor and that, you know, snap that would might or might not have been illegal. Like, you can have the perfect play, but sometimes players just do stupid things. But this week, at our own home, against a quality opponent, like Tyler said, that's just been beating on us for the past couple of years, and they've let us know it. And rightfully so, because they're coming out of, like I told Emery earlier, they're coming out of the dark ages. So you can't fault Iowa State fans for being excited. It's been a big year for them, all in all. Yeah, the Jones is going to be live this weekend, and I really hope that plenty of students show up in their awesome their black and white uniforms, just to pay a little homage to the Big 12 Conference and everything and all of their excellent officiating and excellent administrative ability. So with that, we're going to take a break for our sponsors before we analyze this banged up but proficient Cyclones defense. And we're back in it. Last week was a defensive duke out until the second half, when it became all offense between Baylor and Texas Tech. Only problem was Duffy stalled out, the offense stalled out on a number of red zone trips, and now we're pitted against a defense that is schematically and statistically better than Baylor. So let's just take a brief stroll to see what makes Cyclones such a powerhouse. Foundationally, it all starts with defensive coordinator John Haycock, who introduced the devastating cloud defense 4 years ago. That has really shifted the way the Big 12 has prepared offensively. And it just put them on alert, and it really changed the way this conference went with offensive schemes. So key players to be keeping an eye on, it actually doesn't start in the front. It starts at the linebacker position. Marcel Spears is the Jordan Brooks equivalent, but per tackle is half of Jordan Brooks or so. 43 tackles on the year, but the defense runs through this guy. He's a huge part about their cloud coverage, eliminating the running game, limiting the passing game. He's the guy. He's the dude for Iowa State right now. Alongside him, and this is again assuming that Ryan Vance doesn't start, you got Mike Rose, who has put up a number of tackles himself, 41 tackles, and he's had a forced fumble on the year, so he has the ability to make turnovers. Then you have studly defensive backs in Lawrence White with 40 tackles. He's got an interception on the season. You got Greg Eisworth, who's got 39 tackles, and then you got Anthony Johnson, who's already gotten two forced fumbles, and that should tell you something, that a defensive back is getting forced fumbles. So their defense line is good, but the way this defense is organized is that they're often not the ones getting to the action first. You can listen to my interview with Levi, as you should have, for a much longer explanation on the cloud defense, but basically they are predisposed to push the opponent's run game to the outside, where defensive backs and linebackers can take good angles to make that contact. I mean, this is a team that tackles well and swarms the ball. Iowa State has been progressively better statistically at defense over the course of Haycock's tenure as a Cyclone coach, and it doesn't stop here. Tyler, tell me some good news, man. Does Texas Tech have the offensive ability to overcome the cloud defense?
Man, this has been like an Achilles heel to even Cliff Kingsbury's elite offices. And I don't know. This is going to be a very tough, tough challenge. But again, I think really you got to keep the offense simple for Jet. We saw Jet make one interception that was more Jet Duffy style. The other one was just a tip pass that you can't really, that's going to happen when you throw that many times in the game. But if you keep the offense simple, and man, Sir Roderick Thompson has to come up big. There were plenty of times that a defensive lineman for Baylor had Sir Roderick wrapped up and he just zipped out of there. Like Albie was calling him a one cut back. I think that got to him, and he showed Albie everything that he was not just a one cut back. He can make some moves in the backfield, and I think he's going to have to Saturday.
Where here's the issue therein, Tyler, is that Iowa State, like I said, this cloud defense is predicated. I mean, the efficiency of inside of zone runs, inside the gap runs against Iowa State is extremely low. They're actually one of the best in the nation at limiting or eliminating the inside run for opponents, which has helped them. It just kind of helps this, you know, cloud defense be efficient. Does Sir Roderick Thompson and Tajon Henry, who's coming back this week, I mean, do we have actually the offensive line to challenge Iowa State's scheme?
That's true. You know, and I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to look at, because, man, I really didn't like this matchup with Jack Anderson. I'm really kind of hesitant to see this matchup without him. The offensive line, to me, played okay versus Baylor. They didn't have the best day, but probably their best day in quite some time. Against Oklahoma State, they played pretty well, but Oklahoma State does not have pass rushers and run stoppers like Iowa State. So it's gonna be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, Jacob, the offense failed to convert on a number of red zone trips last weekend, like I mentioned, against Baylor. I mean, do you think playing at home on homecoming offers a bit more efficiency for these guys?
I think it does. The whole thing we talked about earlier with Coach Wells and how he emphasizes the home field advantage, which is really going to help these guys out. And you know, let's be honest, Jet Duffy comes out hotter when he's at home, when he's got the crowd, when he comes out of that smoke, he comes out a lot better, a lot crisper, I guess, on the offensive end. I think another thing that we with their whole red zone thing is we need to make sure we're getting the points where we can take them to. All right, No, none of these BS field goal fakes or going for it on fourth down and five early on. We need to get the points where we can, and that's where I think that there might be a little bit of a difference this week.
Yeah, I don't know the stats on it, but I think Wells is on pace to have more fake field goals in maybe 2 years than Kingsbury had in his whole tenure. Maybe even 1 year. I don't know. We got a lot of games left on the season, but I'm hoping that the first, you know, the ones that he has done that have not been successful, I'm just hoping that that gives him, kind of like you're saying, Jacob, like, let's just take points, man. Let's foundationally win games, and then let's get cute and fun and have a good time with it. Like, you know, big rivalry games and fake field goaling it over your back or whatever. Like, let's win games and then we'll have fun after that. But foundationally, yeah, I completely agree with you. And to remind everybody on where we are with injuries and absentees, Tajon Henry will likely be back in the lineup this weekend after missing the past few, which will actually be interesting after Sir Roderick Thompson's great performances after the past couple of weeks. Tyler alluded, kind of talked about it, that he's been improving. It seems like he improves not only throughout the game towards the end, but he's also improving each week. It seems, you know, if there's a weakness in his game, he's really working on it. So I'm extremely excited for this player going forward. Armand Shine is still out with an ankle injury. Probably not going to see him this weekend. I would doubt if you see him next weekend as well, but we'll see. Xavier White is out for the season after that injury. I mean, this happened during Oklahoma, but he's either just had the surgery or is about to, and that put him straight out of commission. And, Desmond Smith. Desmond Smith is questionable this Saturday after that Oklahoma State knee injury, but there's a possibility that he'll come in. It's not like his absence has made the biggest difference because we have a really good rotation at defensive back right now, but he's certainly an equitable player that we need to get back on the lineup. So all in all, we're banged up. They're banged up. This could be a next man up kind of game this weekend for sure. I guess, and Levi and I talked about it, but I'd love to get you guys' take on what the key matchup, like what's going to make or break this game? Tyler?
It's going to be the Tech offensive line versus that defensive line at Iowa State. I think if you give Jet Nuffy enough time and we attack the middle of the defense with Thompson, you know, hopefully Mannix isn't too banged up. I know he just got stepped on, so hopefully he's 100% to go. But those guys right there got to step up and give him a safety blanket to go to with this cloud defense. That's going to be the matchup.
So you're going straight for the jugular, straight for the cloud defense jugular there, and saying that the best way for us to win this game is just to dismantle the whole thing. Dismantle the whole damn thing, run right up the gut, and we got it. Now, if that happens, I agree with you. It's our whole ball game if we do that. Jacob, what about you? What are you leaning towards?
I'm leaning towards Jordan Brooks versus Brock Purdy. All right. And not just in every down situations, but whenever Purdy rolls out, he's really good at getting out of the pocket and making plays. I think Jordan Brooks has done a really good job this year of sitting in that kind of that spy position and keeping his eyes on the quarterback and chasing him down when he needs to and or applying pressure when he needs to. I think the matchup there of, you know, when is Brooks going to make the right play? When is Purdy going to make the right play? Who's going to make the right play when? I think that matchup will really, really turn the tide of the game in whichever team's favor can you know, win that matchup.
Yeah, that's something I've been really pleased about this year. It certainly makes sense why he got picked to the second team All-America. Probably should have been the first team midseason All-America for a number of reasons. But, man, this is a dude that can – I mean, we saw especially with Spencer Sanders just being able to spy him – and on key plays, key third down plays especially, spying out a mobile quarterback and forcing, and in Sanders' case, you know, forcing him to run out of bounds for like a loss of 10 yards. That's insane. Like, that guy should have thrown. But even efficiency against Charlie Brewer last week, a quarterback who gets a lot of yards on the ground, but was certainly was limited. And a big factor was Jordan Brooks. So I'm really with you here. I don't know if it's my key to the game, but I'm certainly that's going to be something to pay attention to everybody going forward, especially for this game, is how well does Jordan Brooks stifle the mobile quarterback and force him to throw. Problem therein, Brock Purdy's really good at throwing. So we will see. If I'm going to talk about a key to the game that I am most interested in, it's really ultimately how this Texas Tech team responds to, I mean, we've responded to losing by winning at Oklahoma State. We kind of responded to in that victory. We handled success well, I think, and got screwed in a number of ways, but also didn't help ourselves in a number of other ways. How does this Texas Tech team bounce back after a pretty demoralizing loss on one plane against Baylor? That's going to be what I'm paying attention to. Also, how do we take care of the football? Not an absurd amount of turnovers last weekend, but if we're measuring now between the Oklahoma State game and then the Baylor game, you know, is our home field advantage that much greater? Because if it is, Iowa State's going to be looking for turnovers, and the less we give them, the better. And certainly on the flip side of that, we need to create turnovers on Purdy, who's had a couple interceptions on the season. It's not like Texas Tech has had an issue creating turnovers. We have the leading interceptor, Douglas Coleman, with 6 on the season, 2 more than anybody else in the nation. And this is a guy that is well prepared to create turnovers. But how does Tech capitalize points from those turnovers? That's going to be huge in every game going forward, but I think especially this game, to show marked improvement from especially last week, where we had fantastic turnovers, great turnovers on a quarterback that had 0, created 3, got minimal points out of any of them. So that's what I'm going to be looking forward to this week. So let's wrap it all up by picking the Big 12 games this weekend. But first, we're going to talk about the biggest winners of last pod. It was all of us for knowing that Oklahoma and Iowa State would come out with weekend victories, but that's a lukewarm prediction if I've ever seen one. Here's where it gets spicy. I actually think I was the only person to predict a multi-touchdown win by Iowa State. Jacob said that they're bad, but not as bad as West Virginia, and then Tyler said something that was just ambiguous, and they'll win, I guess. But I was like, no, Iowa State's going to roll them. And they did. And it was fantastic. Jacob literally said, on the other hand, Oklahoma would win by 7 and they won by 6. So really, Jacob might have had the best prediction out of all of us. So Jacob's the biggest winner of last pod. Now, biggest losers, we all get to wear this crown because all of us picked Texas Tech to win over Baylor. And it is what it is with the controversy, but damn it, we're 3-3 now, so let's just move on. Get over it. Okay, first up, we have West Virginia at Oklahoma. Mountaineers 3-3 on the season. Certainly a different tale of the tape when you look at West Virginia's season and Texas Tech's season. But nonetheless, 3-3 going up against an undefeated Oklahoma squad who in every capacity earned their 6-0. The current line, Oklahoma by 34. Jacob, who do you have?
Well, let's be honest here, kids. Oklahoma is going to dominate West Virginia. The question is, by how much? My answer, 30. They're not going to cover, but I think they'll win. When I say I think, I know.
I know. Okay, Tyler, same question. Obviously, it's Oklahoma, but by how much?
I don't think they'll cover. You know what's funny? OU played Kansas before they played UT, and UT played West Virginia, and now they're flip-flopping. Like, the conference knew what they were trying to do. Like, it's completely evident that OU and UT gets to look at the schedule before everyone else and make their edits, right? I just wanted to throw that little nugget out there. But yeah, I think OU, I don't think they'll cover, just because, man, 34, that's a large line, man. I know West Virginia is not good, but that's a large line.
I thought you were going to say they got caught looking ahead against Kansas, and Kansas was able to get that score early on them. But that won't be the case this weekend, because Oklahoma just has Kansas State next. And while significantly better than West Virginia, still not that good. Okay, well, Oklahoma's going to win this. And based on, well, it is a Norman. Ah, shoot. Well, I want to say their defense is going to play better than people are expecting it to. I'm taking the under here, because West Virginia play, they you could see that they knew how to defend Iowa State's offensive game plan. It just, Iowa State just out-efforted them, outworked them, outdid everything with them. West Virginia was just in a heel of trouble. But you could tell they kind of knew what they were wanting to do. So I'm imagining it's going to be the same scenario, where West Virginia has a good game plan for Oklahoma, but it's Jalen Hurts and everybody else, and it is what it is. But I don't think Oklahoma makes the 34-point line. Next up is actually this is a really good one. I just didn't know if I wanted to say if it's the best one of the weekend for outside of this, outside of our game. But you got TCU at Kansas State. Both teams 3-2 on the season, coming off a bye, I think. And the current line, TCU by 3.5. Tyler, you got the Cats or the Frogs?
They're going to Cats, and they're going to cover. All over Gary Patterson's defense, they're going to cover.
Really? What gives you so much?
I can't go for Gary Patterson.
It's just against Gary. It's nothing with Kansas State, is it?
It has nothing to do with Kansas State.
That's funny. Well, okay. Ty, Jacob.
Here's my hot take of the week.
Is it hot?
Gary Patterson yells at another coordinator. But it's going to be his fault. That kind of is. I don't know. Hold on. Let me say this. Let me put it this way. Another TCU coordinator is going to have to go to the podium and explain why Gary Patterson's defense lost in the game.
Ah, shoot. Okay. That's pretty good. That was good. Yeah. So Kansas State over the cover, or, well, I mean, if they get a field goal, then it's under, but if it's, you know, touchdown. Okay. A late game touchdown for the embarrassing. Everybody deserves it in this conference. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take, earlier this season, I took Kansas State at home. I can't remember against who. I was like, it's Kansas State. They played well against Mississippi State. And now they're at home trying to redeem a loss. They did have a bye. God, this is actually kind of hard the more I think about it. So I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to go with my gut feeling, which will probably fail me again. But give me Kansas State, and like Jacob, give me them to cover by one touchdown. Anything more, and we're getting unruly in the conference. So Kansas State, one touchdown. I'm going to skip these. I'm going to skip this crappy team first, and we'll come back to them. We're going to do probably, okay, this is the game of the century every year. It's Kansas in Austin.
Yes.
Taking on the Longhorns. The stronghold. Kansas reeling at a record of 2-4, but not giving up hope despite losing commitments and all that jazz throughout this past week. Texas 4-2, coming off a bitter loss to Oklahoma, but, you know, well earned for a number of reasons. The line in Austin, Texas. It's also on the Longhorn Network. I really hope Kansas wins this now.
Yes, the Longhorn Network.
The line is Texas by 21. Jacob.
All right, here's the scenario. It's gonna happen. All right. There's going to be 3 seconds left in the fourth quarter, all right? Kansas is going to go up to kick a field goal. They're going to split the uprights. All the Kansas fans are going to sit in their chairs. It's good, but guess what? They still lost, but only by 18 instead of 21. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, I got Kansas to cover, but UT to win.
So no West Virginia magic where Will Greer threw it to the end zone and can't remember who caught it, but there was in the Hornstown magic and it was all good for the Mountaineers. You're just saying they'll get the points at the end, but it's in a loss.
I was actually at the Jones whenever that one happened.
Beautiful. So
yeah,
give Kansas the points despite the Vegas voters. Tyler, Jayhawks or Longhorns?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Jayhawks, and that they'll cover. I think they'll cover the spread. Texas is beat up, man. They are beat up, and they have a long road ahead of them if they want to get back into the Big 12 championship. I mean, they've got a long road, so I think I'll take Les Miles to cover. Yeah.
So wait, you Les Miles to cover, but Texas to win?
Oh, Texas is gonna win. But
oh, okay. Because you said Les earlier, I was like, oh, you're just picking Kansas outright. Okay. Let me give you a pretty
That's way too much
strong.
Sauce.
Charlie Strong. Charlie
way too much strong. Sauce.
Yeah, that's way too much sauce for me right now. Let me tell you something that is amazing. Texas is on pace to have their worst defensive stats, defensive ranking, everything defense. Their worst defense in a long, long time. This is it still Todd Orlando? Because this team is not doing well on the defensive side of things. And for that reason, Texas will win this. But I actually think Kansas, because I like a lot of what Kansas has on the offensive side of the ball. Now, the defensive side is a little more questionable, a lot more questionable. But offensively, they've got a lot of good weapons, especially Puka Williams. I mean, Puka Williams tore up Oklahoma in a number of capacities. Texas does not have Oklahoma's defense by a long shot, especially on the stat sheet. So give me Texas to win. Give me Kansas to spite Vegas and lose by only 7. So it's going to be a gut check for Longhorns and a gut check for their lacking. Never should have fired Charlie Strong. And their fan base, 50%. Give me 50% for a 6 p.m. game on Saturday against the Jayhawks. And then it'll be a gut check. So, next up, Baylor, an undefeated ranked Baylor team going against Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Oklahoma State certainly having a decent season, I say it's still a good team in my mind, not just because we beat them, but because they have a lot of good talent and good coaching. The line, thank the Lord, for Oklahoma State, Baylor, and Stillwater is Oklahoma State by 3.5. Tyler, you got the other pistol wielding mascot to take down the Bears this week or what?
I had a guy come at me on Twitter, a Baylor guy. And he was coming at me, like, he asked me if I wanted a cookie because I seemed like I was so upset about the fumble. But if roles were reversed, he'd probably be the same way. And I told him, what I told him was simple. Texas Tech is 3-3, sure. Baylor is 6-0. Baylor has not played OU, OSU, or Texas yet. We only have Texas left. The trajectory of our seasons right now, and we took them to double overtime, and we should have won that game. The trajectory of our seasons right now, which one would you rather have? And, I mean, yeah, you will take the undefeated, but the trajectory of our season is going up. And Mike Gundy, if you're listening, I need to talk to you just for a second. I need you to beat the hell out of them in Stillwater, because I told this guy that they definitely would. To make me right, please do this. Please do this. I don't know why Charlie Brewer is good. I don't know what makes him good. I don't know why he's a Division I quarterback. He shouldn't be. I don't know why Matt Rhule is good at coaching. He shouldn't be. I don't know why that whole team is good. Make them pay. That's it.
Well, okay, well, damn. Yeah, you bring up a really good point about trajectory. I said it in the last pod, I think, or maybe it was in a Q&A with somebody, but that, you know, you had Baylor last week, and that was kind of like the big game, because following that, we've got kind of the lower half of the, until our Texas finale, we've got the lower half of the conference, and it is incredibly feasible for us to win out until Texas. And like you said, Baylor coming up against Oklahoma State next weekend. You got Jalen Hurts. I don't know what they're drinking down in Waco, but you're not coming out of that Oklahoma game with a victory. If you struggled against Texas Tech, and this is nothing against Texas Tech, but you saw what Oklahoma did to Texas Tech. And yeah, maybe a little lack of game preparedness, but I don't see any world where Baylor is that prepared for Oklahoma to not get Rickrolled. But we're not there yet. We'll get there, and I'll talk a lot of in depth when we get into next week's pick'em. But Jacob, Baylor, Oklahoma State. I remember the line is 3.5 for the Cowboys.
Alrighty then. First off, Tyler, thank you for your wonderful analysis.
Absolutely, man. Good job.
Thank
you. Second off,
thank you for sharing your trauma story. Actually, is what Jacob meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Experiencing Baylor fans on Twitter, it's hell.
Yes, I know it's awful. I love my sister, but she's a Baylor student right now. Kind of took that one on the chin last weekend. So, with all that being said, the guys up there in Stillwater need to do whatever they need to do. Shake the mullet, see what falls out. All right, find some magic. I don't think it's gonna happen though. I think Baylor is gonna come into Silly and get a win. But there's a big but here. All right, but I think Jeremy's right on point. They're gonna go in 7-0. Whoop whoop, gonna beat the Sooners. And you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna get knocked so far back. Then I bet you they lose 4 out of the last 5 games.
Strong possibility.
Hot take.
Baylor's season thwarted by our conference champion, our inevitable conference champion and representative in the playoff. Which let's get into a deep YouTube style theory about how Baylor is staying ranked so that Oklahoma can have more ranked wins so they can get lifted into the playoff. I'm on this juice. I'm ready to talk about it for days. But my pick is simple. Like everything I said, I mean, took 2 overtimes and controversial calls and Tech kind of shooting itself in the foot for you to win in your own stadium. I'm not confident in what I saw against what I saw with Baylor last week and against Tech to really but at the same time, Spencer Sanders is kind of turnover prone and they've shot themselves in the foot. They're kind of like Tech. Well, they are Tech light, but I don't know. Shoot, now I'm kind of doubting myself. But Baylor also lost their linebacker, starting linebacker, Clay Johnston, maybe. So they lost a key piece of their defense in our game last weekend. But give me Oklahoma State. Give me the mullet magic solely off of the feet of Chuba Hubbard, because if you can't stop Sir Roderick Thompson on a late game, should have been the game-winning touchdown, you're not stopping Chuba Hubbard. I doubt it highly. So give me Oklahoma State, but keep it close. We'll keep it to three because I'm scared to be wrong. Okay, so game of the week. Homecoming in Lubbock. Gonna be loud. It's gonna be proud. Confidence is going up in this program despite a loss, and that is stats from you guys. So if you have any problem with that, look in the mirror, folks. But we're back in Lubbock. We're back to defending the Jones. Guys, we are still in the running for the Chris Beard block party. People want this. Nobody's bowing out now because of some BS ref call. and BS apology letter, and then BS $25,000 fine. Guys, we raised $100,000 in a matter of hours. We're not afraid of you, Big 12. We're not afraid of anybody. This is Texas Tech on homecoming weekend. We got Iowa State coming in strong as ever, more or less, despite 2 3-point losses. The current line for Iowa State at Texas Tech is Iowa State by 7. Oh! Jacob, tell me what you think about it. Tell me who needs to shine for Texas Tech. Give me one player who needs to show up big time for Texas Tech, and then give me, prediction, and then give me your player. That's how we'll do it.
All right. Here we go. For the last some odd years, as many coaches had in the Big 12, Matt Campbell has simply had Cliff Kingsbury's number. All right. But this ain't Cliff Kingsbury's team no more. It's Matt Wells. And he's actually going to have his guys ready to play. I'm sorry, but for the past however many years, Kingsbury just hadn't had his guys ready to go, with the exception of last year, I guess. All right, against Iowa State. For whatever reason, okay? Just hadn't had his guys ready to go. Part of the reason he left. Anyways, I think Matt Wells is going to have his guys ready to go. And I feel like, all right, I'll give you my player before I give you my prediction. Hate to reverse it on you, but this is the way it's going. All right, I think we need Oklahoma State Jet Duffy and not Baylor Jet Duffy to win this game. Okay, I'm going to take care of the ball. I'm going to make plays in the red zone. I'm a baller. Nobody can stop me. Overconfident. Baller Jet Duffy, all right? And I think he's going to show up on Saturday. Jet, if you're listening, you better show up on Saturday, all right? Because I'm locking it in right now. Texas Tech, we're going to beat him. We're going to beat him by 8. Let's go.
All right. Drops the mic.
Let's go.
All right. Tyler, same. Lead off with, do it Jacob style. Lead off with your player and then give us your prediction.
You know, I really... something in the back of my mind is saying Sir Roderick Thompson has to have a really good game. Jet Duffy has to take care of the ball, and it would be a cop-out for me to suggest Jet Duffy at this point, while Jacob just went on an awesome tirade about that. I'm going to go Sir Roderick Thompson has to have a pretty good game today or Saturday in order for Tech to win. Whether that be runs on the outside, whether that be getting the ball on checkdowns, whether that be a screen, a halfback screen to get it going, to attack the middle of that defense. Those little shovel passes that Mike Leach used to do, I used to love those things. And they used to beat defenses that were built to beat us, right? I think I just need Sir Roderick Thompson to have a good game. It's in the back of my mind. I woke up Monday morning thinking we were going to lose. After that fine was levied on Tuesday to Kirby Hokut, you want to see a fan base be pissed off. You want to see an athletic department be pissed off. You want to see a football coach be pissed off. You want to see a team be pissed off. Tune in on Saturday. We're going to beat Iowa State 32-21.
Okay, damn. I'm loving
it. Hashtag TTU over everybody.
TTU versus everybody. I'm loving it. I'm on fire like you guys. Monday was hard. Hell, Sunday was hard. Baylor fans unite on Twitter and troll everyone for no reason. Had to tell a guy that Texas Tech athletics were relevant. He just wouldn't take it. I'm like, man, when's the last time your men's anything like snipped a national championship? And then he tried to tell me that tortillas were bad. So this guy was just clearly wrong in every aspect of his life. But like you said, come the fine, you know, come the apology from the Big 12, then come the fine. Tyler's on it, guys. Texas Tech responds a lot. Texas Tech fans, Texas Tech players, Texas Tech coaches. We respond to that persecution, to that you know, whatever kind of trial it comes our way that says, oh, you're not, you can't do this, you suck. It's like, well, you know what? No, we don't. And then they decide to turn it on, which I wish they would have it on all the year, all year. But Texas Tech is coming into this game with a really big chip on their shoulder for a number of reasons. And I am with you guys. Let me get my player first. My player is actually going to be the whole defensive line. Because if I pick one, I feel bad because I'm not picking the other guys. Give me Eldridge. Give me Mbanasor. Give me Washington. Give me Howard, who had that sublime sack on Charlie Brewer last weekend to put him at the one. And we won't talk about the rest of that drive. But like, give me all those guys, because why Brock Purdy has been so damn effective this season is because he's had time to throw. And when he hasn't had time, he hasn't had significant pressure on him. So we need to be on fire on the defensive side of the ball, defensive line priority, to put pressure on Purdy to make uncomfortable throws. And if he makes them, guys, he makes them. He's one of the best in the conference. He's one of the best in the nation statistically. You know, this is a good quarterback, but we need to put him in the uncomfortable zone. Starts with the defense. This defense gets fired up like the Oklahoma State game. We come out strong. We get a turnover in the first drive. You know, Lord willing, please. But we got to come out hot and heavy, because if we get everybody engaged early, this crowd will be in it till we win it. They were against Oklahoma State. They'll do it again this week. Block party still on the line. Matt Wells is not Cliff Kingsbury. Keith Patterson is not Gibbs. We got a whole new staff, a whole new scheme. Campbell doesn't have anybody's number this year. So give me Texas Tech to cover, and cover by 10. We shall. Hopefully, taking notes from our podcast, the coaching staff will take the points and quit doing these BS fake field goal garbage that's taking points off the board. So you heard it here first. We got Jet Duffy. We've got Sir Roderick Thompson. We got the defensive line. These are your Viva the Matadors keys to the game, the key players and key units to the game for Texas Tech to come out with a win against Iowa State this Saturday, which we're all predicting. Yes, 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 for so many reasons. So that's going to about do it for us today. Man, if you've enjoyed this preview, if you like Tyler, if you like Jacob, if you think I'm okay, man, like, subscribe, give us comments. We love the feedback. You can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid Podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Tyler, Jacob, and myself, this has been the Preview Pod for Iowa State. Stay wrecked, people.